I'm number nine now, apparently. Peter A. Bell. Big bad blogger. Facebook famous. Columnist for iScot magazine. Yeah, you've got my bank details, Ken. Can I use this mic? Yeah, right. Okay, I'm here to talk about reframing the argument. What is framing? That was actually explained earlier on, so I'm not going to get into a lot of detail about that. Framing is a trigger to a concept or an idea. It's like a preconditioned context into which the concept or idea is placed. And we can turn that around. We can reframe things like when they say Westminster is sovereign, we reframe that as sovereignty is vested in the people of Scotland. So one of the questions we can ask is what we can learn from the No campaign because they ran a successful campaign, as we know to our cost. We can look at what they did. They were always on message because they had nowhere else to go. They ran a very integrated media campaign, and they relentlessly chased focus groups, and they played on fear. So what we will do is emulate what they did and do it in much the same way. So we reframe things. We reframe things like too wee, too poor, too stupid. We're all familiar with that. That's a relentless message from the unionists. It's a constant background hum from the UK establishment. It may not be said outright, but it is always implied. So we want to reframe that. We want to reframe that concept, if not the actual words. So how do we go about reframing that? We reframe that as big enough, smart enough, rich enough. Scotland is a proud nation with a huge future, renewables, development of technology, healthcare, best in the UK, and we have compassion. We can inject these ideas of compassion as against the British state's framing of everything in terms of austerity. We can counter that. We can reframe with compassion. For example, here's an example. When they say what currency, their frame is ownership. The pound is theirs. It's about entitlement and permission. They feel entitled to the pound. We have to ask permission. It's about confusion, because there are many possible different answers to that. And just by trying to answer it, it puts us on the back foot. It draws us into that frame of confusion. We reframe that as, is Scotland competent to manage its own currency? It's about competence. Are we smart enough? Of course we are. It's about infrastructure. Can we build the institutions? Of course we can. It's about confidence. Do we have the faith in our own capacities? Of course we do. So that is the currency question reframed, and I never want to hear it mentioned again. Should Scotland be an independent country? That was a question in the first referendum. How do we reframe that? We have to reframe that because it implies that Scotland is not a nation like other nations. It implies that independence is in the gift of the British state. It implies that we have to ask for something which is actually ours by right. We have to ask for it. It is theirs. It's like the currency. Independence belongs to them, and we have to ask for it. Instead, we ask the question, should the union be dissolved? It must be the union that is in question. It must be the union that has to be justified. We reframe things because independence is normal. I actually think I'm finished there. I'm not quite sure how the slides went, but I think I'm finished there. So if I've got more time, I'm happy to take any number of questions. Any number. There's a video on YouTube somewhere of me talking in Orkney for 2.5 hours, so I hope you brought a big piece. 5 minutes. Oh, 5 minutes, eh? Oh. Sir. Oh, somebody got a mic?
Yeah, just coming.
Patience.
If you don't mind standing up.
A wee step on, Andrew. Yeah, a wee step on,
yeah,
son.
There was an interesting reframing upstairs, actually, which was to do with debt. And the fact that it's not actually debt, it's equity. And I think we've been bamboozled with this household equivalent for a national economy, which, to put it crudely, is bollocks. You know, it is complete nonsense. We are not a household. And what we actually have is, we should frame it, I think, as Scotland as an enterprise, Scotland with a national equity, not a national debt, and the right that citizens should have of a national dividend from national resources. Okay? That completely reframes the debate, the austerity debate, yeah, which we've been, you know, beaten around with the head with this myth of debt. Because technically, as an accountant myself, it's not debt.
Yeah. One of the things that we have to be cautious of with... One of the things that we have to be cautious of with reframing is the terminology that we use. Now, when you start talking about debt, as you say, it can be referred to as equity. Some of the things, though, it's very difficult to talk about them without using their terminology, if I can put it that way. So that is a problem. That is something to be thinking about. But one other thing that you can be thinking about is when questions are asked about debt, about pensions, about currency, whatever. First of all, ask yourself if that is actually the relevant question. Or is that a question that is designed to frame everybody's thinking around the issue? Like with the currency example, is that the pertinent question? Of course, it can't be the pertinent question because it doesn't go to the core of the matter. So think about the questions that go to the core of the matter. The core of the matter on currency is competence. The core of the matter on independence is that independence is normal. That is the way we should be. It is the union that is anomalous. That's the union that has to go. Somebody else already have a mic?
Go on, David.
Hi, David.
Hello. Talking about reframing, one of the big weapons that was used the last time was the price of oil. And the question is, it's not the price of oil on the open market that's actually important, because it makes no difference whether it's $50 or $100 or $130. It doesn't matter. What is the percentage of tax collected by the UK government or North Sea? It's zero.
Yeah.
We should be asking the question, in an independent Scotland, what percentage of tax would a Scottish government in the future be charging on North Sea oil?
Hmm. Yep. That brings in another aspect of framing, which is false equivalence and false comparisons. And I know time's limited here, so we can't talk much about that, but just think about it. False equivalence and false comparisons. I bet every one of you can come up with several examples of that. Another thing that's worth thinking about is reframing things in a light-hearted way, in a humorous way. I mean, one of the things about the whole price of oil thing was reframing that as, the unionists have just discovered that the price of oil is volatile. Who knew? You can reframe things in that way. Take some of the sting out of it. There are different ways of reframing. It's not just about asking different questions. It's just about putting the thing into a different context. And a humorous context is just as valid. Hang on a minute.
Okay. Peter, you very kindly wrote an article in this wonderful magazine I Scott some months ago about the predicted date of a referendum. Do you have anything to add?
Yes. To that article?
Well, they're going to have to buy it to read it, but I'd rather you came out with it.
I don't know. I never read it. I don't know what it said. That's actually true. That has actually happened to me. I've come across an article online that somebody's linked to, and I'm reading it, and I'm thinking, hey, this is, hang on a minute. I wrote that. It also happens pretty much every time I hear Michael Russell speak. He keeps lifting stuff from my blogs. I swear he does. Good on the man. Yeah, good on the man. No, the date of the referendum, I have nothing to add other than Thursday the 20th of September 2018.
One more.
God, that was my big finish.
Never mind. Think of another one. The whole reframing thing, I think, is absolutely brilliant, and it's a great thing. But what my worry is, with all these keyboard warriors and everything, how do we get it across to them to start thinking that way as well? Because we do get independent supporters actually getting out there, and they're actually installing all these words.
Oh, I despair. I know exactly what you mean. So earlier on, somebody asked me, she said, what is it things that the unionists say that... make you really mad, that really get you annoyed. And I was supposed to be thinking, just one thing that unionists say that really irks me. And I was actually struggling, because all the things that kept popping into my head were things that yesers say on Facebook and Twitter. And I'm going, oh, no. I don't bother myself too much about it. All this nonsense about the cybernatory and online abuse, that is a weapon against us. That's another thing that has to be reframed. I reframe that as the right of everybody to speak out, regardless of their ability to frame arguments or express themselves, regardless of how eloquent and erudite they are. Everybody is entitled to a voice. And if all they can say is, Theresa May, then let them say it. I would rather have them participating, even if it's only to the extent of cursing at Theresa May. I would rather have them participating, being involved, being engaged in some way, rather than sitting watching daytime TV or some toxic pastime like that. That's a framing. That's a reframing thing too.
Last question, no, just one more.
Hi, I'm Lillian. Thanks, Peter.
Hi, Lillian.
I think that one of the biggest reframings we need is not seeing Scotland as poor at all. We actually are the country that's called the place where the people expect to get wet. It seems to me we have the most valuable commodity on the planet in abundance. Water everywhere. And all the native peoples all around the world are screaming about Monsanto stealing their water and selling it for hundreds of pounds. And we live in the land that could actually help. We could give it away. We're so rich in it. And I think that's really important.
One of the problems, sometimes even by trying to answer a question or respond to a point, you validate it. So sometimes you're better just to ignore it. What other countries have to be constantly justifying themselves? What other countries had to pass an exam to get the independence that they're entitled to? What other country would anybody dare turn round to them and say, you don't have a right of self-determination, you're not getting another referendum, because we say now is not the time, we say no. What other country would put up with that? This is all part of acting like we're already an independent nation. We simply don't accept their narrative. We create our own narrative. And that gets us into the subject of media, and I'm not allowed. So, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.